Hey everybody, it's great to be with you today, and for anyone who might be joining us at Church Online, wherever you are around the world, it's just awesome to have you with us today. I've actually been away on annual leave for the last month. If you haven't noticed that I've been missing, you need to come to church more frequently. But Edie and I had a great break. We actually did sneak a little bit of some ministry commitment in there. So I bring regards to you from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I was involved in some training with them from Gateway Baptist Church up in Brisbane. Also from Bayside Church here in Melbourne. I've ministered in all those different environments. Also as part of the National Gathering of Baptist Senior Pastors. Did some stuff there with the guys. So anyway, it's been a great break. And it's just good. Nothing quite like coming home. And it's good to be home and lovely. So if you've arrived at Crossway in the last month, my name's Dale. It's lovely to meet you. And I head up the team here at Crossway. So we're doing a series right now that we're calling Family Life. Now, Edie and I think, stumbled onto this. I don't know if we were that deliberate. Maybe we had a bit of deliberateness in there, but certainly the conviction has grown stronger as the years have gone by. And that is that wise people widen the circle of influence in their family life. Now, while we're talking kind of a family life series, please realize that everything that we're talking about in this series applies to everybody. It applies to young dating couples. It applies to singles. It applies to widows and the elderly. The sort of principles I'm going to be raising today about wise people widen the circle, it really does apply to everyone. It applies to us as individuals, but for those who are young families, pay particular attention, can I say, because this is really a fantastic strategic piece that you can integrate into your family life. The fact that we've had people around us who carry like values to ourselves has been a profound influence in helping to chart the path for our own children. We have four of them. They're all now young adults. By the grace of God, they're all walking with the Lord. I know there's no guarantees on any of that. And many parents know that. You know, you have a child and they're a free will agent. You give it your best shot. And raise a child in the way they should go, and when they're older, they won't depart from it, is proverbial, not promise. In other words, it means that is the principle, but we all know there's no guarantees. Little free will agents running around, they will make up their mind, but we lean in and we seek to exercise influence. And if we bring others into that sphere of influence of like mind, there's all sorts of benefits that come from that. Now, some of the really significant words and ideas, not just words, which really epitomize the most noble aspects of humanity, love, justice, mercy, kindness, forgiveness, sacrifice, service. These are humanity's highest personal and social ideals, and they are all relational. You don't do these things in isolation. We need other people to come into our world. You might have heard the story about the gentleman who was stranded on a desert island for a couple of decades, didn't have any contact with anyone. And when he finally got rescued, he was only just in sound mind. But there were three buildings that he'd constructed over those couple of decades. I said, "What are the buildings?" He said, "Oh, that one, there's my home." I said, "Oh, that makes sense. What's that one?" He said, "Oh, that one's my church." I said, "Oh, that's brilliant. What's that one?" He said, "Oh, that's the church I used to go to. It wasn't any good." And yes, people. And so the great challenge. Now, the verses that I'm going to primarily base this morning's message out of come from Ecclesiastes, but I first want to touch here this very simple idea from Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, where it speaks about God's creative activity, and the primary purpose of Genesis chapter 1 and 2, I'm not going to go into the details here, but it's the who and the why, not the how and the when of creation. It's the who and the why. And when God, at each creative day, it said that God said it was good. It was good. It was good. When he finally made humanity on the sixth day in his own image, very good, he says. When we get to chapter 2, the only thing pre-fall that's got a commentary that says it wasn't good is this. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it said, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helper who is just right for him." Now, it is still true this day. It's not good for people to feel alone. You could be in a full room like this, and you could feel very lonely. In fact, I'd be very surprised if there's not a significant number of people who are here today and it has felt lonely during the week and you've come and you're sitting and you still even feel lonely, even if you came with somebody. I remember a very sobering thing happened to me a few years ago at Crossway, just as someone came up and I greeted them. They threw their arms open. I gave them a big hug and they squeezed tight as I hugged them. And then they said, "My first physical contact for the week." Just think about that for a second. My first physical contact for the week. That's lonely. And we, in prison, people are put into isolation as a form of discipline. To isolate someone long term is a form of torture. Children get put in the naughty corner as one parenting strategy. And just that temporary isolation is, you know, it's like, because we are relational. We are relational people. So this text from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, written by Solomon, frequently, which is read out at weddings, but is not exclusive. In fact, the domain that he touches here is much broader than simply weddings. Look at what he says. "I observed yet another example of something meaningless under the sun." I actually want to let you know, the very first book I ever read of the Bible was Ecclesiastes. Stumbled on and I stuck my thumbs in the middle and I read it and it felt like a commentary on my life at that point. And he said this is the case of a man who is all alone without a child or a brother, yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. But then ask himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It's all so meaningless and depressing. How many parents have actually made that mistake? And not just parents, but also individuals, where in the pursuit of success, the pursuit of wealth, where we've allowed the company to effectively own our soul from dawn till dusk, from early until late, working hard frequently with the statement so that we can provide for those that we love, and then the ones that we love themselves say, "But we miss you. We'd rather be on more meager means and have you than to have on grander means and to be without you." And Solomon's kind of talking about this type of scenario where an individual, they're going hard, but they're alone. They go, "Why am I doing this? It's also meaningless and depressing." And then he goes on and he puts it like this: two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. Now he's talking about teamwork here. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Now, let's just think about that concept, living life in isolation. Because so many of us here feel time poor, that's actually a pretty normal account of 21st century Australians, wherever you're watching around the world. I don't know if that's true in your culture, but in Australia, absolutely, I can almost guarantee it, people feel time poor. It's actually why you arrive 10 or 15 minutes late for church, but you've never kind of joined the dots. And it's that sense of, "I'm time poor." You get to bed a little bit late, you get up a little bit late, and like, I'm very sympathetic. You made it. Like, so I regularly, when I stand outside and greet people, when people come in a little bit late, they start rushing and apologizing, and I say, two fists in the air, you made it. There's plenty who didn't make it. You're the success story. You made it. Well done. Even if running a little late. And the running a little late is frequently, especially the kind of the regular offender, it's just your normal pattern. You leave a little late. Why do you leave a little late? It's because you feel time poor. It's just not quite enough time out there to do everything. There's not quite enough time to get up and get ready in time to be here for the start of a service. You would think it wasteful to be sitting 5 minutes before the service started. It's like it's wasteful. What's wasteful about that? You could even come and pray. It wouldn't be a waste. You can get your heart ready. You can actually sit and slow down and just become aware of the presence of God. Like, I know he's with you wherever you are. I'm not trying to kind of bring God in the building. But our awareness that he is with us wherever we are, look, that ebbs and flows, doesn't it? We all know the reality of that. To come, to be still, to say, "God, I'm here to worship you today." It's the only way to respond. But for the person, if we're doing life alone, it's possible that when we fall, both literally or figuratively, who doesn't know the reality of falling at a certain point? You've done something you feel ashamed about. Your own sense of well-being has collapsed for whatever reason. Life's tough. It might be a health issue, might be a relational issue, might be uncertainty about your future or finances, whatever it might be, and you feel like you've fallen. That is a terrible time to be alone. We're going to be with others at this point in time because somebody else can help somebody up. It's my personal conviction that about 98% of care happens informally. Now, I really do want you to raise your hand right now. At some point in your life, if you have had a friend or a colleague or a neighbor or a family member sitting opposite you as they unpack their world and they begin to cry, raise your hand if that's happened to you or you've been part of that. Now, really raise your hand because it's much, much more than that. You yourself have cried and you've had another person there. Thank you. Put your hands down. It's what happens at that point. There is somebody in our wider circle that we have either felt safe with or they have felt safe with you, and they have needed another person to help them up. It's so important. So important to have other people in our world. Wise people widen the circle. Solomon goes on, he says, likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one keep warm alone? Now, this whole idea of actually being cold, it's a phenomenon that in our climate-controlled environments that we don't oftentimes have to kind of confront in Australia. I remember when I carried my backpack around Europe in the middle of winter, I got locked out one night from a youth hostel in Belgium. It was going down to about minus 15 Celsius overnight, and they had big signs saying what time you had to get back, and I missed it by about 15 minutes. I was kind of looking for a grace period, and there was no grace period. No grace in that youth hostel. The doors were locked. The lights were off. I'm literally on the street banging on the door, and nobody would answer the door. Hard line, closed, everyone's in bed. And all of a sudden I realized, I'm actually in trouble here. I was alone. Look, I had reasonable clothes on, but I wasn't expecting to like be outside for the night. It was time to start getting really creative. I had no one that I could like snuggle up beside. I had a Eurail pass. I walked to the train station in the hope, because the Eurail pass meant I could get on any train and go anywhere. And I'm like, I am going anywhere tonight because the train is heated. If a train will come through, I don't care which direction it's going in, I'm getting on the train, because it'll stop me from freezing. And sure enough, a couple of hours later, a train did come through in the middle of the night, and boy, was I glad for a train going anywhere. Now, that's a bit of a metaphor for life as well, isn't it? Because sometimes stuff inside our own heart can cool down, and we can do life a little bit tough. And you don't want to do these sorts of things alone. Then he goes on, Solomon goes on and says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. How important is it to have somebody who stands with you? The attack that comes in Australia is more likely to be to your reputation than to you physically. How important is it to have someone standing with you who says, I know you, it's okay, when others might speculate divergently? Now, to this end, I actually need someone to help me. And look, Pastor Toby Baxter is sitting in the front row. He knows nothing about this, but please come and join me really quickly, Toby. I just need a little help illustratively at this point. So now, up on the platform. Come and join me up here. And because I'm just going to get some gloves on. Can you just take that elastic band? Thank you. Yeah. So just imagine that is our capacity represented right there. Now, whether it's to do with our children, whether it's to do with another individual in our life, sometimes people stretch. Come and get beside me on the camera here. Some people stretch our capacity. So if that's our natural capacity, we're going into the zone where we're saying, God, I can't do this, but you can. And it gets stretched kind of right out here. Yeah. But sometimes, because we're imperfect people, even with access to the infinite resource of God, it's a little harder. It goes even further than we can do. Ooh. That's why I've got gloves on. Oh, absolutely.
Oh. Thanks for that, Dale.
Yeah. That's why I had gloves on. No, stick around. There's more. No, okay. Now, the passage here goes on and says, three are even better. A triple braided cord is not easily broken. Now, here's the deal. I now have three elastic bands. When you actually begin to have other voices in your world saying the same thing. Now, that little metaphor that we just did there, can you snap another one of those just for me, Toby? Sure. This little metaphor. Yeah, thank you. It gets beyond our capacity, and invariably at that point, people do get hurt a little bit.
They do.
Now, if there are multiple people with the same voice, just think you can grab those three now, Toby.
Looking forward to this.
Now, I do know you work out at the gym sometimes and you run marathons and things like that. A cord of three strands. So now, your child or that other person in your world, and it's kind of got beyond you, but now there are other voices saying the same thing. People who are now saying to your child or to your friend, whatever, that is an unwise course of action. You are now no longer the only voice saying that. There are now multiple voices. But they're trying. Come on, Toby. Oh. Okay. Clearly, we need a bigger group of people. So.
Okay.
Clearly, we need a bigger group of people.
It's going to hurt.
Oh. Come on. Thank you, Toby. No. We're not quite. We're almost finished. Now, if you get enough, if you get enough people in the zone, now all of a sudden the capacity is expanded, and see now look what's happening. All of a sudden. No, nothing is breaking because there are enough people actually sharing in the challenge. Now, I'd like to illustrate that even better. Toby, I'll get you to get off the platform now. I want you straight down here, please. Just get the other end of that. These are the same elastic bands. Now, when you are part of it, can you head to the back door, please, Toby? when you are part of a community, keep going, all the way to the back door. When you're part of a community, oh, I'm losing my grip. Oh, no, I'm only joking. When you're part of a broader community, now we might describe this now as, you could even call this as like a missional community, where there's a group of people small enough to care but large enough to dare. Like a missional community has got spiritual parents, they've got predictable patterns, and they've got a clear purpose on why they're gathering together. Now, there are people who make withdrawals from our life to a point where we actually need somebody else to come alongside and help. And otherwise something's going to snap. When wise people have widened the circle, there's a broader group of voices now that are involved. It's amazing how far someone can go but still be relationally connected. There are now adult people. I think of one young man who, right deep into his 20s, this happened since I've been at Crossway. He's now 30 years old, and he's a muscly guy. When he arrived at our home, he leapt into my arms, wrapped his legs around my waist, and his arms around my shoulder, and says, "Papa Dale." He calls me Papa. And he says, "Because you are like a father to me." And there are multiple kids who use that type of phrase who are in my adult kids network. How does that happen? Because wise people widen the circle. Wise people widen the circle. If you're trying to do family all alone, you're trying to be a dating couple all alone without other voices that you can cross-reference with, we were thinking about doing this. What do you think? Yeah. It's amazing once that relationship is established and there are multi-voice. Look, we've now got a whole community of voices and it hasn't broken. You can let go, Toby. You really can let go. Thank you. You see, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. So not only do we need multi-voices saying the same thing, but we actually need a community of people that would help us make it into the same zone. Now, this idea of widening the circle, especially when we're talking about people who feel time poor. Now, the vast majority of the people in this auditorium feel time poor. And therefore, we start to conclude, I have no time to widen the circle. I can only do life the way I'm doing it because I feel time poor. Without acknowledging, it's possible for people to come into my world as I am going. That it's actually not a plus, it's not additional time, it's how I do my time. It's possible for me to do life with others in a way that they're included as well. Look at this verse from Ruth chapter 1. Naomi's the mother, her husband has died, her daughter-in-law Ruth, her husband, which was the son of Naomi, had also passed away. And Naomi is encouraging Ruth to go back to her own people. She's saying, you're not going to have a future with me. We're both widowed. Go back. Maybe there's a future with your own people. And look at the way Ruth responds. She says, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Now, that's what happens when the circle is widened. Quite clearly, something has happened in Ruth's heart with regard to the nature of her relationship with Naomi. And she says, Naomi, I'm in your circle. My circle has widened and I don't want to go anywhere else. Do you see the faith implication in that verse? I want your God to be my God. I want your people to be my people. There's something about you and there's something about the way you do life that I actually want that same God that you have. There are so many layers and implications to expanding the circle. Wise people widen the circle. Now, I don't think this will be an unfamiliar idea from Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Share each other's burdens, and in this way you obey the law of Christ, which is the law of love, where Jesus said, you are to love one another even as I have loved you. This way people are going to know you're my disciples, if you love one another. So this simple idea of being able to be a burden bearer with one another. Now, if I wanted to have another fun illustration of this, I could get Pastor Toby back up, but I shan't. But I could ask him to move this table forward just about a meter, but not drag it on the floor, please. We don't want to mark the floor. Can you please, Toby, lift that burden and move it 1 meter? And it would be almost impossible for him to do that because of the weight of the table. But I could get a half a dozen people who are not half the stature physically of him, and they would do it easily. How? Shared burden. Shared burden. There's multiple people around an idea. Now, some people will make withdrawals from your life. Some people will make deposits into your life. You cannot afford to only be surrounded by people who make deposits into you, otherwise you potentially are the only person making withdrawal. We all have to have that shared capacity to say, I am going to find that balance where there are individuals that I am investing into their lives and their worlds and their well-being, and I'm going to have others who are investing into me because I'm not a bucket, I'm a conduit of God's blessing. Others will speak into my world, I'll speak into others' world, others will love me, I will love others. Others will speak wise words to me, I'll speak wise words to others. Others will love me, I will love others. Others will forgive me, I will forgive others. God will love me so I can love others. God will pour his grace out on me. Favor I don't even deserve because of Jesus. And guess what? I can show favor to other people who don't even deserve it. Can I just say to you right up front, in your dealings with me, it's never, ever going to be whether you deserve it. Ever. It's because of the Lord Jesus. He gives so generously and freely to us that's supposed to be the modus operandi between Christian people and from Christian people to the broader community. Is never to do with someone deserves it. I tell you what, in your marriage, for those who are married here, bring the idea of grace into your married life. Oh my goodness, will you become a blessing to your partner? Never. It's never to do with whether someone deserves it. Can I say, it's never even to do with 50-50 on the kind of give and take or workload, because that would suggest someone's counting. You're just there for the other person. It's not whether they deserve it. You just give generously and freely. I tell you what, that is embryonic to warmth of love and relationship. You're married to someone who just keeps giving to you freely. Even if you're somewhat narcissistic and egocentric and you're a taker and a taker and a taker, if someone loves you generously and will speak lovingly and directly to you about some of those narcissistic tendencies, tell you what, open your heart to this generous person who's loving you generously, that's helping you to realize some things. It's just hard to resist a generous spirit. That's worth an amen. It is hard to resist a generous spirit. So these, this whole concept of widening the circle, for all of us, doesn't matter where you are in life, I say to the singles, I say to the widows, I say to the dating, I say to the couples without kids, to the families, to the mature age, our senior citizens, a sense of belonging, connectedness, and feeling loved and respected in an extended group of significant adults is a protective factor for a number of risky behaviors. We could put a full stop right there. Research declares that with regards to youth. That's why wise people expand the circle, but I know it's true for all people. If you're part of a broader community, we do well at this point to know I'm loved and I'm connected, I'm respected. That is so significant. I've had people say to me, I had someone say to me not so long ago that they felt lonely and they were positioning themselves as a victim. So we said, okay, let's get proactive. How about you invite somebody round for a cup of tea? That was just a proactive step. I said, you know what used to happen historically? People used to sit out the front of their house, but now I've got the electric garage door and everything's gone indoor and to the backyard. I said, how about deliberately figure out when there's a bit of people traffic outside your house and deliberately, maybe not a winter strategy, but I guess you can dress warmly, get out in the front yard and deliberately, you know, I've done a bit of gardening out in the front yard. It's amazing how many of my neighbours I get to meet out in the front yard. G'day, pause, have time for a chat. Hey, go on, how's life treating you? You know, which house do you live in? Oh, you're in that one over there. Oh, nice to meet you. Did you know once a month this community gets together and has drinks on a Friday night? And we do it on whatever is the first Friday of the month, the last Friday of the month. I can't remember. It's always in my diary, though. Get together with the neighbours and we connect. And so some of my neighbours might see this because I was standing with six of my neighbours and I made a reference to Crossway and four of you said, oh yeah, we've looked at it online. None of them went to church, but four of the six had looked, probably because their neighbours, like the pastor there and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. But why wise people widen the gap. And can I say to you, if you're here and if you're feeling lonely, don't have a victim mentality. Now, we sent out an email this week, and I conclude with this, because I am driving this thing somewhere right now. We sent an email this week, if you're on the Crossway database, we went to everyone. If you didn't get it, maybe you should give us your details. and it asked about your passion. What are you passionate about? What do you love? Because people will cluster around what they love. We got a large group of people who love cycling, and numbers of them cycle together. I know a group of people who are into art and museums, and they collectively went to a museum just recently. I know people who are really keen on politics. I know people who are really keen on science. I know people who are really keen on the AFL or sport in general. You name it. Now, here's an option I'm about to create for you. Out in the foyer at the welcome desk, and for those of you who are joining us online, I want to give you the opportunity. You can just email this to us because we can do some online groups. I realize for some of you, you're in countries where you have no Christian community around you, but we can create online Christian community for you. So if you're one of those, email your interests because we do online groups. You can get community online even though physically it's not around you. But what we're doing out at the welcome desk today, there's a whole lot of spots. If you want to take a proactive step, if you say, I'm feeling a little bit lonely, I'd love to connect, or if you're saying, we maybe haven't widened the circle as much as we should, If you are prepared to write your name and something that you love doing, sport, politics, science, the arts, dancing, you know, what, cooking, gardening, whatever it might be, write it beside. But if you choose to put your details out here, here's what we commit to do. We're trying to deal with the complexity so it becomes simple for you to find people with like passion. We'll do a group email, or we'll do the option of an online community, or maybe both. And your details will go to that group saying, hey, you all collectively enjoy cycling. And then if someone wants to post to that group or email that whole group, I'm going to go cycling this Saturday. Anyone want to come cycling? You might end up with two or three or four. You might end up with 400 people cycling here. It'd be awesome. We've got people who love four-wheel driving. They've already found each other by virtue of the nature of their vehicle in the car park. Yeah? Tim Heng, Pastor Tim Heng's onto that. He sees a big chunky four-wheel drive in, and he goes and tells them that they connect and they go away for weekends together and all that sort of stuff. Whatever your passion is, if you are prepared, if you want to, if you're wise in expanding your circle, you won't go to the footy by yourself. You go to the footy with some other people who love going to the footy. The opportunity to go to a museum together, to go to the ballet together, to go to a musical, you name what it is. Somebody already indicated that they love growing organic foods. There's got to be other people who are keen on growing organic foods. Just if you want to, just get out there and put your name down, and we will help to connect you sideways. We're going to try and deal with the complexity so it's simple for you to find others who share a similar passion to yourself. Some people will connect up like that in such a way that's far more impactful, not only for their family life, not only for their personal health, but for the lives of others as well. Can I invite you right now? I want us to take just a moment to be still and to pray about that, because you'll have that opportunity as you leave the auditorium here. Let's pause. And Father in heaven, I want to pray particularly right now for anybody who's here, and they're here and they're feeling lonely. I want to pray for any family who feels like they've closed ranks as a family and they haven't widened the circle. But today, having heated up this value, something inside you is saying, oh, wow, probably we need to widen the circle. So, Father, I pray right now, by your Holy Spirit, you'd stir hearts, that we would not use our time, sense of time poverty as our exit door, but rather realizing there are others who potentially love doing what I love doing, and I could experience a broader sense of community. Father, I pray for anybody who's here who feels lonely. And I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you'd extend an invitation into community. Father, I also want to pray right now for anybody who's here, and you feel like a spectator to this whole deal. You maybe feel like a spectator towards God even. You found yourself in the midst of a worshiping community who identified Jesus as the forgiver of their sins and the leader of their life. But you're standing on the outside of all of that, but God's done something in your heart. You're here. You might be joining us online. If you're at church online, you can take a next step. Even on Facebook Live, you can just say, I want to take another step in this. Let me say this to you. God has demonstrated how much he loves you by having Jesus die on the cross for your sins, to create the potential of you being forgiven, to create the potential of you stepping into this community called the family of God. And you can take that step today if you want to. The ball is in your court. There's nothing that you've done in your life to date that excludes you from that. You cannot out-sin the sacrifice of Jesus, but you can reject it. So I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. This is going to be a little scary, but I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to say yes to God, what he's done for you, what Jesus has done. And I'm going to give you an opportunity in your own heart of hearts to say, Jesus, what you did on that cross you did for me, please forgive me. Please become the leader of my life. As you find in your heart your yes towards a God who knows you and loves you, as you seek by faith to try and respond to Him. It will involve turning away from stuff that would otherwise separate you from God and turning to Him. Say, God, forgive me. I'm going to do it Your way. Jesus, lead my life. And if that's you and your heart's maybe beating in your chest right now, God Himself approaching you, say in your heart of hearts right now, yes. Jesus, yes. I want to step forward. I want to step in. Now, while all heads are bowed, if you know the reality of what I'm talking about, flood this place with your prayers. I'm praying for everyone who's online as well, because you can take this step as well right now. In your own heart, say yes. I'm going to get you to do something. While others are praying for you, if today is your day, I'm going to invite you to lift your face and raise your hand high on the count of three. Say, today's my day. Today I'm crossing the line. Today I'm going to put my trust in Jesus. Are you ready? Is this your day? And you're saying, yes, Jesus, I want you to be the forgiver of my sins. Yes, Jesus, I want you to be the leader of my life. Are you ready? On the count of three, your chance to say yes to Him. One, two, three. Lift your face and raise your hand. Yes, ma'am. Bless your heart. Straight away. Yes, sir. Bless you. You'll see as I look around, ma'am, bless you. That's awesome. Lift your hand high. Make sure you catch my attention. You'll see as I look around the room into your section. Bless you, ma'am. Down the front. One, two, three. A couple of guys over here. Four, five. Bless you. It's awesome. Raise your hand high. Right up the back. I see you. That's awesome. You say, yeah, today's my day. I'm wanting to put my trust in Jesus this day. Jesus, be the forgiver of my sins, the leader of my life. I'm trying to take a significant step forward. Lift your face and look at me and raise your hand high wherever you are. Online, you do it. I can't see you, but I know you can see me. Right, wherever you are, raise your hand. Say, yeah, I'm saying yes right now. Lift your hand high. Lift your face. Say, yeah, that's me today. That's me today. Father in heaven, for each person who right now seeks to respond to You by faith, meet them according to their faith, I pray, by Your Holy Spirit, that we can know the reality, yeah, right up the back there. We can know the reality of what Jesus has done for us, that we step into community with the living God. We widen the circle. Wise people, widen the circle. Lord God, I pray that we would know the reality of that in our hearts, that we don't need to be lonely. So thank You, Lord God. We love You and we praise Your name. And God's people said, amen.